How are we, Aaron? By the way, can we all turn around and look at the lovely people in the booth? Yeah. That's right. Shout out to the people that make it all happen. So thank you guys for serving us as we start. Let me introduce myself a little bit so you can put me in context of speaking here. June and I have known each other for a really long time now. We don't look any different than we did 30 years ago, so that's a good thing. But we didn't bring pictures to prove that, so don't ask for them, all right? I am married 30 years. This next July, I know I've told my husband 30, big honey. I'm expecting, I don't know what he's working on, so I told my daughter, start working on him. I do have 3 children. They're all young adults. Anybody else here have young adult children? Okay. There'll be a support group tomorrow after lunch. For those of you that are young adults, don't come. They're great. My oldest son just got married last December, so I'm a mother-in-law, and she loves me, so right there just is enough. I'm just so grateful. She's great. So they've been married a whole 7 months, or whatever it is, and he told me a couple months ago, he goes, Mom, this marriage thing, it's so easy. Of course, my response is, that's because you had such good role models. And I go, but really, I just said, wait. Just wait for it, you know? Let me know how that goes in a while. Our second, he is also getting his master's of theology at Trinity in Deerfield, and his wife is getting her master's in New Testament. Our second child, Caitlin, I have one kid, right? Theology, brilliant that. The second child comes along, and God decided to laugh, and so she's a dance major. And she's at Anderson University, and she is graduating in December, and she and her fiance will be married at the end of December. So I've got a second one getting married, and I'm just going to tell you now, being a mother of the groom versus a mother of a bride are just two completely different experiences, let me tell you. Yeah, so today, I thought I'd come up with something prepared for this, so I'm studying the other day, and she calls. She goes, what are you doing? Well, I have a job, and thought I'd prepare for this conference thing I got coming up. And she goes, well, that's fine. Do you have the name for the babysitter yet for the wedding? The one that's on December 23rd? No, we have to get one. My new sister-in-law is going to want the name. Would you rather give her a Xanax? Could that help? Because she just needs to. I go, on my list of to-do, darling, the name of the babysitter is at the very bottom. I don't even think it's made the list, sweetheart. And she goes, you can't tell me that. These are my future in-laws. I'm like, do you need a Xanax? I don't just give those out liberally. So, and so she's wonderful that she's a dance business major with a minor in education, and she loves teaching little kids how to dance. And she's marrying an accountant, which right there is hysterical. Dancer and accountant. That's going to be fun to watch. All right, but we're pretty excited because it means at the start of the new year, I have 2 kids through college and 2 kids married. So all the disposable income goes into retirement because there's nothing in that account, obviously. And then the third kid, he is a sophomore at Moody Bible Institute and is studying theology as well. And that's a pleasure because I am a professor at Moody Bible Institute. I am the division chair or program head for children and family ministry, so I run that program, and then I teach classes within that. I have my master's in counseling psychology with an emphasis in systematic theology, and I'm licensed in the state of Illinois as a licensed clinical professional counselor. And then on my off time, my husband is a pastor, so I'm a senior pastor's wife. Yeah, so there we go. What I'm hoping to bring to you today from all the experience and the study that God has given me is that we would just have a bit of time together this weekend to think about the lives that God has given us and what he is doing in our lives, to have a moment to reflect and to stop. Who am I as a woman, as a child of God, and who is he in my life? What is he about? And if we could just take a moment in our lives and do that this weekend, and we'll see where God meets us. So that is my hope for all of us, that we become good friends and that we learn a little bit. I love this verse from Proverbs 27:19. It says, as water reflects the faith, so one's life reflects the heart. How do you know what someone is like? Who am I? I kind of told you, you know, married, kids, that kind of thing. But you know what? If you look at my life, who I am, That's really what's important, because you're going to see where my heart is at. Okay. The other thing about this verse, if you do a little bit of study of it in the Hebrew and context, the other thing is look at a person's friends. Another way of interpreting this is, as water reflects the face, so one's life, and the word life there means also life companions. It kind of is including the people around you, reflects the heart. You will tend to embrace those who reflect the values of your heart. So look at your friends and you'll know if you're doing fine or need some work. Right? I knew that would get you. You're all looking at each other now going, how am I doing, right? All right. Throughout the centuries, women have changed the world through faith, lived out in bold and risky ways. I took that picture earlier today. It was a selfie, right? I'm really thinking that woman needs counseling. Who does that? I don't know. But I thought it was a picture of the fact that there have been women throughout the world that have indeed, because of their faith in Jesus Christ, they have lived boldly and they have taken risks for the kingdom. And this weekend, I'm actually going to introduce you to three friends of mine that lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago that you may not know. But the reason that you are sitting here today and have the faith that you have in Christ, and that you can read your Bible on your own, and that you can actually give an opinion about that Bible on your own, is because of these women that you may never have heard of. Okay? The thing would be, as we look at their lives, though, is why? What about their life was so reflected in the things that they did every day? What was going on in their heart that came out and changed the world? What about that heart? What's got to be going on in order to make a difference in the lives that we live? What is in our hearts is understood by the evidence of our lives. I would call it an evidential life. And there is evidence in the women's lives that we're going to look at that would show that their faith was so strong, but there were certain characteristics about them that enabled that faith not just to be something that they said, but it's something that they lived. And it's not only something that they lived, but they lived it and it made a difference. I think the saddest thing would be to come to the end of our lives and on the very last day, it didn't matter. It didn't matter that I was here. It didn't matter that I breathed. It didn't matter what I did. I had no impact. To me, that would be the saddest, saddest day. Faith, evidently. What we're going to do with these women is we're going to build a connection with them, because we want our faith to evidently make a difference. So we're going to connect with them, and I'm going to tell you their story. I'm then going to help you be hopefully inspired by them. We're going to look at some scripture in which they pulled from in order to live this life. And then we're going to do a little bit of assessment on ourselves. Where is this in me? Where can I look at this and go, God, what should I do with this? Now, when I came up with this and I was studying it, anybody look at the first letters of that? Now you will never forget it. What'd you do this weekend? CIA training. Just leave it there, right? We're going to have some connection, inspiration, and assessment, right? When I look at these, I'm hoping what's going to come is what I would call teachable moments. So let's talk a little bit about teachable moments. Teachable moments, it's an insight of a moment. Sometimes they're surprising and unplanned, and sometimes it's opportunities by design. You see, one thing I noticed about the lives of these women is as they lived their lives, they were allowing God to teach them as they went. So as I've looked at this and I've studied these women from history, I realize, you know what life is? Life is a series of teachable moments. Really, that's all it is. All it is moment by moment, God is teaching you. And the only reason he's teaching you is so that you can get to know him more, because that's why you were created. Because as you know him and you truly know him, you will fall in love with him. And as you love him and learn from him, you will learn truth. And this truth then becomes the foundation of your life. Your life is a series of teachable moments. Now, sometimes in these moments that we live, and sometimes when usually the surprising ones are ones that aren't in your calendar, and sometimes they're not very good. Last year, I had a teachable moment. I was sitting, we got a phone call at home, and it was the police, saying that our youngest son, who had gone out for a jog, had been hit by a pickup truck going 45 miles an hour. The ambulance was there and they were working on him. Could we come to the accident? Of course, thankfully, praise the Lord, my husband was home and he answered the phone. And he goes, they're working on him. We need to go. What do you mean they're working on him? What does that mean? And so we're driving there, and I even remember praying, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. I just didn't, please, please, please. And then I realized, God, this is my worst moment. This, out of everything you can do in my life, take my reputation, take my job, even take my health, but don't touch my child. I don't want to show up, and he's dead on the side of the road. Please don't make me live through that, please. And I remember on the way, and not that I would say I necessarily heard his voice, but at that moment I knew that was the one thing I really didn't want to learn from. That was the one thing I didn't want to relinquish. And I remember thinking, would I still praise him? Would I still worship him? Would I still teach about him if he took that which I loved the most? And before we got there, I remember looking, I just thought, okay, Lord, yes. Go ahead, you do what you want, but I really don't want to. But if you ask me, I'll do it. I thought that's what Abraham must have felt like. He's walking up that mountain with his son, and God was asking, will you do it? At that moment, no matter how it ends, that's the teachable moment. The moment when you're like, I don't really want to live through this. Mm-mm. Could we change the plan? Because I really just don't want to live through this. Wasn't in my calendar. This was surprising. And yet, why? Why am I going through this? We have a sovereign God where in his sovereignty there is a plan. And it's clear at the end of Philippians 4, I love Philippians 4, and it talks about he is here to meet every one of your needs. But our greatest need is to know him. And often he shines the brightest when our life is the darkest. In those surprising moments, that's the answer. There's a good and godly reason. Because no matter what you're going through in life, whatever he takes from you, he desires for you to know him so deeply that no one will love you, no one will treasure you, no one will adore you as much as he does. And whatever he has to take from you to draw you to himself, saying, here is your happiness, here is your security, I'm here, I'm the one you need to know. He will do whatever it takes to draw you ever closer. I think most of us sometimes act like toddlers and you ever tried to hug a toddler who doesn't want to be hugged? And they try to break away? And he's like, nope, not going to let you break away. In those surprising moments, it's a teachable moment. Your life is a series of teachable moments. Sometimes we have teachable moments. Insight comes as opportunities by design. That would be this weekend. You planned, you came, you're sitting here. There's going to be opportunities to learn things, and it is up to you at that moment to decide, as I am listening, Lord, what would you have to say to me? How does this inform my life? Because you know, in these opportunities by design, you don't have to. Maybe I've already said something today and it's touched your heart. You could totally forget it and walk right out of here. You have a choice. Some teachable moments, we don't have choices, and some we do. I'll tell you the end of the story. We got to the accident, and Josh was on the side of the road. He was conscious. He had woken up. He had been unconscious. He was able to talk to the paramedics and just bless those people that are able to handle those kind of emergencies, and they were with him. They did allow, this is where I'm also thankful for my training. I was able to be calm so I could go into the ambulance with him. My husband went home to pick up our daughter. We hadn't told her. So I am in the ambulance, and he said, you know, we're just taking it moment by moment. Right now he's conscious and he's on fluids, and we'll get to the hospital and they'll start evaluating him. When you're hit by a pickup truck going 45 miles an hour that didn't even, just blew through a stop sign. It was like, and just hit him. They're like, we don't know what kind of internal damage and things are going on, plus the traumatic brain injury. We have no idea. It is pretty amazing, though, that if you look at the statistics, 96% people who get hit like that immediately die. The other 4%, most have very big complications. Josh is a sophomore at Moody this year and doing just fine. Yeah. So that is a pure miracle. It was just a miracle. You know, in fact, Josh, as he's going through this, he goes, Mom, I really think when I got hit, it's like angels just carried me, because what was happening, he didn't go even go with the propulsion of the truck. It's like he went off at this weird angle, but it's a good thing he did, because if he hadn't gone off on the angle, the truck would have rolled right over him. And he goes, so I just feel like the angels kind of just took me to the side, except they dropped me really hard. And I'm like, well, at least they got you out of the way, right? So my teachable moment in that, what was God doing? Was that an accident? Yes, of course. Was it a fluke? Was it just, I don't know. It was a teachable moment for all of us involved. It was an opportunity to give just thanksgiving and testimony as we were in the hospital and in the ER. My son in the ambulance on the way to the hospital with the woman that was there who was the paramedic, he looked at her as she's working on him and everything. He goes, I need to know something. Do you know God? And she said, yes, I'm a believing woman. I'm a Christian. He goes, oh, good, because if you weren't, I'd have to witness to you. And I'm like, Josh, you could be dying. He goes, I know I could be dying. Blood's coming out of my head. I only had a few seconds left. I needed to talk about Jesus. Oh, my goodness. And I'm like, I'm such a spiritual, just nothing compared to you. I was just so blown away. But that was the work, the confirmation of the Spirit in him. And Josh, as he said, you know, I always wondered if I was a Christian. And at that moment, when your last thought is Jesus, God met him and said, you're mine. If you have to be hit by a truck to have that affirmation of faith, Josh today would tell you it was worth it. For me, will I lay it all down to serve him? I will. Did my husband completely clear his calendar to get everything we all needed for the next month? We did. And he goes, you know, I always felt like I was a little bit selfish in serving. But it was my pleasure to give up all my time and everything to serve my family. There were so many confirmations in the pain that we needed to be confirmed in that I think without that, I wouldn't have really learned those things. And we're still learning. We look back on that and the journey that we've been since then. So it's not a mistake. Nothing in your life is a mistake. Read Philippians 4 before you go to bed. Look at what has happened in Paul's life. And he's going, God meets me in my needs, and I am strengthened. He strengthens me in my life. Your life is a series of teachable moments. The first woman we're going to look at tomorrow morning, her name is Olympia Murata. This is a verse that I would attribute to her life. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. This young girl, starting in her teens, and she only lived until her mid-20s, had a profound influence on the Reformation. She lived in the early 1500s. She said this, "You, talking about God, command, however, and I will obey, for no sacrifice is more agreeable to God than that of a voluntary, humble obedience." When we find out what she gave up in order to make sure that her witness in the Reformation, it tells us something about where strength comes from. Strength comes from humility. The next woman we're going to look at is Marie Dantier. Her verse was Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." She said this, "And we must stop and hold on exclusively to interior goods, to faith, to the Spirit, opening through charity in our hearts." Marie, she's one of my favorites. If I was going to say she's most like an apostle, she's most like Peter. John Calvin, they said she was kind of a nuisance to him. Nobody ever questioned what Marie was thinking because she told you before you asked. She had quite the personality. But when you look at her life and how she used it, the faith in Christ, where we are saved by grace alone and faith alone, as by the scriptures alone, Marie helped proclaim that throughout Europe. And the last but not least, Katie Luther, Martin's wife, amazing woman. 2 Corinthians 13:5, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Can't you see for yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you?" She was constantly looking and wanting to live out this faith that she had been saved into. And what the last words that she said before she died, she said, "I will stick to Christ as a burr to a top coat." And then she died. That was her. If you know anything, it's very fun. Her life was, she's incredible. And I had the opportunity to go to Germany this summer, and we went to Wittenberg, in which Martin and Katie lived. So I'll show you some fun pictures. And the way that Katie lived her life was so evidential in her faith that I guarantee you that Martin would not have been the man he was, and we would not have the faith we have today without Katie Luther. You see, if we look at history, a lot of times we think about the Reformation 500 years ago, and we think about the men behind it. In the mid-1400s, you had Gutenberg, who made the printing press, and the first thing he printed for everybody was the Bible. That's great. Joseph Gutenberg, great guy. Wonderful. We have the printing press. 1516 was Erasmus. He actually took the Greek New Testament, and then as he made comments on that and was able to translate it, that went throughout Europe. So we're thankful for Erasmus. 1517 was Martin Luther, who took the 95 Theses and put it on the door. And he basically said to the Catholic Church, you do not buy your way into heaven. Stop with the indulgences. You don't buy your way in. You don't do anything to earn your salvation. And he brought it to a head. Good for him. 1519 was Zwingli. Zwingli said, we can read the Bible, but I want people to understand it. So I'm going to preach and I'm going to teach and I'm going to explain it as I go. Before 1519, that wasn't happening. You were not going to learn. They're going to read it to you, and no one's going to get it. Zwingli says, no, we need to teach it, and we need to study it. And then around 1535, Henry VIII decided we're to have the Church of England. Now, whether some of these people, their different reputations or what they do, the reality is these men changed the face of the church. And the reason that we can talk about Scripture and we have our Bibles and we study our Bibles, but let me tell you that the Reformation, our faith, is not built on the shoulders of men alone. That there are women who lived bold and risky lives, a faith so evident that they learned from their teachable moments, and from that, what they learned, that truth became the foundation of their lives. And we are here tonight because of what they did. Their faith is now an opportunity for yours. And you know, one day, when I am done, I would like to have thought that my life was well lived, so that faith continues and it grows, because that which God has taught me has made a difference to someone else. This weekend, there's three things we'd like you to do. One is to enjoy. This is an enjoyable, teachable moment. It's a weekend in which our prayer and our hope for you is that God is going to speak to you. There are things you would like to confirm in you, for you to know. So when you leave here, you are a changed woman. Second, learning. You're going to learn not just as you're reflecting in your own life, but learning from one another. Listen to your friends and the people around you, and listen for God's voice among those conversations. And third, as we have enjoyed and we have learned, hopefully that leads us to worship. May we all be much more in love with our God at the end of this weekend than we are right now. Let me pray for us, and then you get to go have your evening. Right. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight and the chance that we just got to think a little bit about what you have for us this weekend. I pray that our hearts, that we would indeed be open to what you want to say. Father, I pray that whatever we hear and learn, whatever thinking we might need to challenge or change, Father, use it in the foundation of our lives so that truly when we leave here, not only are we changed, but we can change the lives of others, that in our family and our friends. Father, let us be world changers. Let our faith make a difference. And most of all, Father, may we come to know you more deeply. And may we love you more richly. You are a great and good and generous God, and we look forward to what you will have for us. Father, may the rest of the night, may we sleep well, may we enjoy one another well, and since June pointed out the full moon, may we look at it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.